All right, let's build a proper drum and bass riser that's felt more than heard, and then we're going to do the pitch bending the advanced way, resampling only, so no automating pitch on the synth itself. We're going to print audio, bend the printed audio with clip transpose envelopes, then print it again so the warp character becomes part of the sound. This is one of those workflows that instantly makes a riser sit like it belongs in the track, instead of sounding like a generic build-up sample. Set your session tempo somewhere in the classic range, 172 to 176 BPM. Now create a build area before your drop. Let's do 16 bars if you want the cinematic version, or 8 bars if you want it more roll-friendly. Drop in a few locators to keep you honest. Bar 1 is your riser start, bar 9 is where intensity starts to climb, bar 15 is the final push, and bar 17 is the drop. The big goal in DNB is this: the riser should create forward motion without stepping on your snares, ghost notes, or the hook. You're not trying to win the mix, you're trying to pull the listener forward. Now we need a source to print. We're going to make a simple tonal layer and a noise layer. The tonal part is important because pitch bending pure noise doesn't always read as rising. The ear needs some kind of tonal anchor, even if it's subtle. Create a MIDI track and load Wavetable. Initialize it, keep it simple. Oscillator 1 on a sine, or anything sine-ish from basic shapes. Turn oscillator 2 off for now. Then draw a long MIDI note that lasts the whole build. Pick something like A2 or A3 as a demo, but ideally you choose a note that won't clash with your track key. In Wavetable, enable a low-pass filter, LP24 is great. Start the cutoff pretty dark, somewhere around 200 to 500 Hz. Add just a little resonance, like 10 to 20%. Then shape the amp envelope so it doesn't click. Give it an attack around 200 to 600 milliseconds, and a release around 1 to 2 seconds. Now add just a touch of movement so it doesn't feel like a static tone. Assign an LFO to the filter cutoff. Slow, like 0.05 to 0.15 Hz, and keep the amount tiny. This is one of those if you can obviously hear the wobble, it's too much situations. Next, the noise layer. Add another MIDI track and load operator, or use Wavetable's noise source if you prefer. The idea is bright noise that we can shape with filtering. If you're an operator and you can access noise, great. If not, you can fake it with a bright source and aggressive filtering, but keep it simple. Put auto filter after it and set it to high pass, 24 dB. Start around 200 to 400 Hz, so you're not injecting low-end garbage into your build. Later, we'll push the perceived brightness upward. Optionally, add redux for texture. Keep it subtle. Downsample maybe 2 to 6, and dry slash wet 10 to 25%. You're just adding grit so it reads through busy drums. Now select both tracks and group them. Name the group Riser Bus. This is where we do the shaping automation that we're going to print. On the Riser Bus, add auto filter, saturator, hybrid reverb, and utility. For auto filter, choose low pass, LP12 if you want smoother, LP24 if you want more dramatic bite. Now automate the cutoff over your build. Start fairly closed, like 300 to 600 Hz at the beginning. By bar 9, get it up into the 1.5 to 3 kHz range. By bar 15, you can push towards 6 to 10 kHz. Don't just draw one perfect straight ramp. DNB tension usually accelerates near the end. Slow lift early, steeper lift later. On saturator, give it 2 to 6 dB of drive. Soft clip on. If you want, add a bit of warmth, but don't turn it into a distorted lead. Think thickened air. Hybrid reverb next. Plate or hall vibes work well. Decay around 2 to 6 seconds. Dry slash wet maybe 10 to 25%. And high cut it around 6 to 10 kHz so it doesn't turn into fizzy hash when the filter opens up. Then utility. If there's any low content at all, set bass mono around 120 Hz. Even if your riser is mostly high, this helps avoid weird stereo low-end moments that can mess with the drop impact. And keep headroom. Print conservatively. Aim for peaks around minus 12 to minus 6 dB. You can always push it later. If you print too hot, and then warp and transpose it, the top end tends to get brittle in a really unpleasant way. Now here's a very DNB-specific move. Automate the reverb to rise in the last 4 bars, then slam it down right before the drop. Like the last 8th note or last quarter note, just cut the space. That sudden dryness creates a vacuum and the drop feels bigger without you doing anything louder. Cool. Now we print. Create a new audio track called Riser Print 1. For its input, choose resampling, arm it, and record the full 16 bars, or 8 bars, of your riser playing through the bus with all your automation. When you're done, consolidate it into one clean audio clip so it's easy to manage. At this moment, you've done the key mindset shift. The sound is now audio. We're going to bend the audio, not the synth. This is why it sounds printed, pretty, and believable. Click your printed audio clip. Turn warp on. Now pick a warp mode based on the character you want. Complex Pro is your clean lift. It stays stable and smooth. Start there. Set formance to 0, maybe slightly negative if it starts sounding chipmunkish. Envelope around 128 to 256 is a good zone. Texture is the foggy, metallic, grainy lift. Amazing for darker techie rollers, but it can get noisy fast. Tones can go a little vocalish, which can be sick if you want a subtle whistle vibe, but it can also get weird, so use it intentionally. We're going to do subtle pitch bending. This is not the plus 12 semitone EDM siren thing. In DNB, professional pitch bends are often tiny, 1 to 3 semitones total. A really usable starting curve is, over the first 12 bars, go from 0 to plus 1 semitone. Over the last 4 bars, push toward plus 2. In the final bar, you can optionally nudge up to plus 3, but only if it's not turning into a melody. And here's the teacher check, treat pitch as tension, not melody. Loop the last 2 bars of the riser with your drop bass muted, but leave any vocals or pads on. If the riser starts singing a note that argues with the vibe of the track, back off the bend. The riser should feel like pressure, not like a new chord. To draw the bend, don't automate the track transpose. Use clip envelopes in the clip view. Go into envelopes, choose clip, then transpose. Draw a gentle upward curve. Make it not perfectly linear. Add a tiny stall, like half a bar where it almost sits still, then a faster climb. That micro hesitation creates anticipation without needing more volume. Also, keep your envelope clean. If you zoom in and draw a million tiny points, you can create a steppy, zipper sound once it's warped. Fewer points, smoother curves. Once your pitch envelope feels right, we commit it. Create another audio track called Riser Print 2, or Riser Print 2 Bent. Set it to resampling, arm it, and record the playback of Print 1 with the transpose envelope active. Consolidate again. Now you have a pitch bent riser that includes Ableton's warp behavior baked in. That's part of the sauce. It's also why this technique is so mix-friendly. It's not perfect. It's printed. If you want extra life, we do a micro bend pass. Duplicate print 1, or work from print 2, either is fine. Go back into clip transpose envelopes and add tiny modulation, like plus or minus 0.10 to 0.35 semitones. Yes, that's small. Draw a few waves that get faster near the end. Then resample again to print 3 micro bend. This is that tape under tension feeling. It reads as nervous energy, not as an obvious effect. Now let's make it mix ready on the final printed track, whether that's print 2 or print 3. And EQ 8, high pass it around 150 to 300 Hz, steep slope. Your riser does not need to compete with sub or kick. If it's harsh, dip a bit around 2.5 to 5k Hz, because that's where a lot of brittle warping fizz lies. Add saturator again if needed, lightly, 1 to 4 dB, soft clip on. Then you can add a post-print auto filter for a final little sweep, or even a small resonant peak near the end if you want it to feel more urgent. And only use a limiter if you're getting random spikes when the pitch rises. Don't just slam it for loudness. Now, transition detail. This is where the drop starts feeling expensive. In the last eighth note to last quarter note, hard cut the reverb tail. Either automate hybrid reverb dry slash wet down, or just cut the audio and fade it. Then add a micro gap before the downbeat. 10 to 40 milliseconds of silence is enough. Even 20 milliseconds can make the kick and snare feel like they hit harder. If you want the gap to feel even more urgent, place it slightly before the downbeat, like 20 milliseconds before bar 17, so the ear senses a vacuum and then the transient feels like it arrives with authority, even though it's still on grid. Advanced variations, still resampling only. 1. Multi-pass gear change pitching. You do print 1 with no pitch, then a gentle bend from 0 to plus 1 semitone and print that to print 2. Then on print 2 you do the final push, plus 1 to plus 2.5, and print to print 3. The magic is that the last section has been warped and processed twice, so it sounds like it's straining. That's tension. 2. Split band pitching. Duplicate print 1 into a low rise and high rise track. On low rise, low pass around 1 to 2 kHz. On high rise, high pass around 1 to 2 kHz. Then give them slightly different transpose envelopes. Like low ends at plus 1.2 semitones, high ends at plus 2.2. Resample the sum. This keeps the body stable while the air climbs faster. It's subtle, but in a busy DNB mix it reads really well. 3. Micro tape snag moments. In the last bar, add two super short downward ticks in the transpose envelope, like minus 0.15 to minus 0.35 semitones for about a 16th note, then continue upward. Resample immediately. That little snag feels mechanical and physical, not like a clean digital ramp. And here's a nasty one. Intentional warp stress at the end. Split the clip so bars 1 to 14 are complex pro, and bars 15 to 16 switch to texture or tones. Even if the pitch rise is still only 2 semitones, the character shift tells the listener something is about to happen. Arrangement-wise, keep it phrase-aware. Every 4 bars, the riser should change role. Early bars, barely there. Next phrase, bring in stereo and a bit of reverb. Next phrase, pitch starts to become noticeable, but still subtle. Final phrase, character shift, maybe width collapse. And that width collapse trick is huge. Automate utility width on the printed riser. Start wide, like 120 to 150%. Then in the last beat, collapse to 60 to 90. The drop feels wider by contrast, even if you changed nothing in the drop. Last note, sometimes the best last bar is smaller, not bigger. Try cutting the noisiest layer for the final half bar so it thins out into a narrow, bandpassed strand of tension, then drop hits and it feels like the room opens. Mini exercise to lock this in. Make 3 8-bar risers from the same source. 1 clean lift with Complex Pro, 0 to plus 1.5 semitones. 1 grit lift with texture, 0 to plus 2 semitones, maybe a touch of redux before the final print. And 1 panic lift that adds microbend plus or minus 0.2 semitones in the last 2 bars, and a hard reverb cut in the last 8th note. Level match them. No cheating with volume. Put each before the same drop and pick the winner based on which one masks the snare the least, pulls you into the downbeat the most, and stays compatible with your track key. If you tell me your tempo and what note your sub is sitting on, I can suggest exact bend end points and where to place a tiny downward tick so it reinforces the drop instead of fighting it.